Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The title for this week's program is Two Signs from God. One good, one bad, one reminding the world of the providential sovereignty of God, his control over the affairs of men, and the other a warning from God concerning the coming worldwide apostasy. One sign puts Donald Trump in a good light, and the other is a dark shadow. Now, I say that there are two signs from God. I'm not using the term signs in the sense of biblical miraculous signs, but lessons from God. A sign can be an event in God's providence that points to a greater spiritual lesson. And of course, the first sign to discuss is the failed assassination attempt of Donald Trump. A scoped AR rifle at 160 yards doesn't miss its target, especially with multiple shots. If Donald Trump had not turned his head at the exact moment to read his teleprompter to get some statistics for illegal immigration, he would be dead. You've probably all seen the graphics of the trajectory of the bullet and how if the bullet had been 1 inch over to the right, and if Trump had not turned his head at such an unusual angle, the bullet would have gone through the back of his head. And sadly, we saw how deadly one round to the head could be in the death of the bystander, Corey Campitore. So immediately a number of scriptures come to mind. First, 1 Kings 22:34. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel, King Ahab, in the joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I'm severely wounded." A few hours earlier before the battle, the prophet Micaiah prophesied by God that Ahab would die in battle. Since the king is a primary target, Ahab took precautions and disguised himself. But when God slates you to either live or die, it will come to pass. The text goes on to explain that the king of the Arameans, who were fighting Israel, he told his men not to fight the small or the great, but to target the king of Israel. So you'd think that Ahab's disguise would have helped him. But the providence of God is pointed out in that the text records that a bowman shot an arrow at random. And not only did it hit the king, but it found the one spot in his armor that was vulnerable. There are no coincidences in this world. Psalm 21:8, your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. People may think, through their preparations and defenses, they can escape the hand of God. But Amos chapter 5, verse 19, is when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes home and leans his hand against a wall and a snake bites him. Jeremiah 48:44, the one who flees from the terror will fall into the pit, and the one who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the snare. And in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, and they will not escape. Job 36:32 says God commands the lightning to hit its mark. Now, where lightning hits is considered one of the most arbitrary, indiscriminate events on earth, but God even determines where lightning will strike. Psalm 148:8, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfill his word. At 200 yards, a slight 5-mile-an-hour wind or a slight gust of wind can deflect a bullet 1 inch. And that was the difference between life and death for President Trump. So Trump was correct in posting the following after his shooting, quote, "It was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening." So the lesson Americans should take from this event is the sovereignty of God over our lives. It should strike the fear of God in our hearts, that we better be rightly related to God if we're to have God's protection. Remember the famous sermon by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? It was based upon Deuteronomy chapter 32. Their feet will slip in due time. And the entire message was about the theme we're talking about, that God has our life in his hands, and he can take us out at any time. So therefore, we better make sure we're living righteously and we're rightly related to God. Now, while King Ahab received the curse of God, scriptures promise the righteous to receive the protection of God. Psalm 91:5, those who dwell in the shelter of the Almighty will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the bullet. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23, if you take hold of God's wisdom, then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. So, the assassination attempt last week directs us to 1 Kings 22:34, Psalm 21:9, Amos 5:19, Jeremiah 48:44, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Job 36, Psalm 148, Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 91, and Proverbs 3:23. All events need to be measured and explained through Scripture. Now, as far as human politics is concerned, even Democrats are now saying that this was a public relation win for Donald Trump. Americans identify and have sympathy for martyrs, for the underdog that beats all odds in opposition. His enemies have tried to use lies to stop him. His enemies have tried using the courts to jail him and keep him off the ballot. And now even an assassination attempt fails. A CNN analyst said Donald Trump is going to appear in Milwaukee like Lazarus, risen from the dead. Here's an article from Axios. The assassination attempt will turbocharge the persecution narrative Trump has placed at the center of his campaign. Republicans couldn't ask for more of a contrast, with President Biden spending the last 2 weeks in a standoff with Democrats who fear he's too feeble to campaign effectively, and the picture plastered on all front pages around the world of Trump with his fist in the air, blood on his face, and the American flag flying in the background. Here's an article from NBC. A veteran Democrat consultant, speaking on the condition of anonymity, said Biden's campaign ended Saturday night. Now it's time to focus on keeping the Senate and trying to pick up the House. Another Democrat strategist stated, the physical targeting of Trump robs Biden of his main argument against the former president. Biden's strategy has been to convince voters that Trump is so extreme that he presents a threat to democracy. Adam Green, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, echoed that sentiment. I'm very concerned that the net effect of the Republican convention will be to neutralize the core Democrat critique of Trump, a felon who fomented a violent insurrection, tried to block the peaceful transfer of power, and said that the Constitution may need to be terminated. So this is turned against Biden, because Biden's whole case was that Trump's rhetoric incited violence. But now the focus is on Biden's rhetoric of incitement. Republican Mike Collins of Georgia called on the Republican district attorney in Butler County, PA, to immediately file charges against Biden for inciting an assassination. Senator J.D. Vance also posted on social media that President Joe Biden and his campaign are squarely to blame for painting Trump as an authoritarian fascist who must be stopped at all costs. You see, just the other week, at a recent fundraising event, President Biden said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. Now, if any Republican said that about a Democrat who was then the victim of an assassination attempt, You can be sure that on that very day, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, Politico, The Washington Post, New York Times would all be demanding that Republican step out of office. So the miracle is not only Trump's life was spared, but like all of the other Democrat attacks, it has fueled Trump's campaign. Proverbs 26:27, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. So that's the first sign of God or lesson for this week, that God is in control of this election. But there's another sign that God put before us last week that should serve as a warning to God's people not to put their hope too much in Donald Trump. And this is what my program was going to be completely about until the news of the assassination attempt. You see, Donald Trump and his team put pressure on the RNC to remove from the RNC platform opposition to all abortion and opposition to homosexual marriage. Because Donald Trump is only moderately pro-life, and he has a very libertarian view of homosexual behavior, that American freedom means letting people do what they want to do. Melania Trump just hosted another fundraising event for those who are called log cabin Republicans, Republicans who are LGBTQ supporters. The head of the RNC, Rona McDaniel, tweeted out in June, "Happy Pride Month. The GOP is proud to have doubled our LGBTQ support over the last 4 years, and we will continue to grow our big tent by supporting measures that promote fairness and balanced protection for LGBTQ Americans and those with deeply held religious beliefs." So these are the Republicans who believe the Republican Party is all about freedom, not about the moral law of God. Remember, the sin of Sodom wasn't that everyone was a homosexual, but everyone in Sodom supported the sexual deviance in the city. Luke chapter 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Jesus didn't say, remember what happened to the Sodomites, because that warning is obvious. Instead, remember the compromisers, like Lot's wife, who loved the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, Trump has explained many, many times his pro-life position and his LGBTQ position with, we have to win elections. It's a philosophy of pragmatism over principle. And when you operate on pragmatism, you go down the slippery slope of national moral decline. The will of the people become the standard. And this is very sad, because now the Republican Party is becoming the Democrat Party. And I, along with many Christians, are going to have to bail out of the Republican Party. Last year, I'd written a brochure called Christianity and Political Parties to explain why Christians historically have gravitated toward the Republicans and why the Republican Party has taken a stand against abortion, against same-sex marriage, against transgenderism. Because since slavery, the Republican Party has based its platform on God's higher natural law, while the Democrat Party has based its platform on populism. That law is to be a function of the will of the people. And that's the big difference. But all that's changing. With so many secular economic conservatives joining the ranks of the Republicans, they don't care about national morals, only about economic freedom. And with that, they're really no different than the Democrats. I heard a commentator make the following point. Quote, it's no longer conservatives versus liberals. It's no longer the right versus the left. It's no longer Republicans versus Democrats, but it is authoritarianism versus liberty. It's about those who want to control us versus those who want to be free. And boy, that sounds so good on the surface. And expect to be hearing many pundits frame the political divide in those terms. but it's a false dichotomy. It's an inadequate way to describe the political situation because freedom alone is the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Democrats are the ones who base their ethics on freedom. Freedom to have an abortion, freedom to practice LGBTQ, freedom from work. And in order for some people to maximize their freedom, they want a big authoritarian government. So if Republicans start making freedom the basis for governance, then Republicans have become Democrats. Conservatives need to describe the division correctly. It is those who want law and policy to be according to the desires of men versus those who want law and policy to be according to the law of nature and nature's God. But few people today want to reference God in the whole discussion. We are in the throes of the great apostasy. Well, just understand that this concept of personal liberty as a basis for policy is beginning to take over the Republican Party. This is the secularists in the party, the economic conservatives, not the moral conservatives. Tony Perkins with the Christian Political Activist Organization, Family Research Council, put out a letter for delegates to oppose the change to the new Republican platform. Here's a quote of what's happening. On Monday, July 8th of 2024, the Republican Party Platform Committee voted to adopt a streamlined national party platform that cut much of the pro-life language that has historically been included, some of it for nearly 50 years since 1976. The process was unprecedented. Instead of being allowed to deliberate for 2 days, the 112 elected platform committee members, two from every state and territory, were sequestered without their cell phones. They were not given time to review the draft platform, not allowed to form subcommittees, or given the opportunity to offer and openly debate amendments with media present. Instead, this year's private meeting proceeded to a short period of speeches, followed by a final vote on the platform. Unquote, Tony Perkins. So, a minority report was filed against this change. Quote, the undersigned, a minority of the committee, elected to the 2024 National Republican Platform Committee, not agreeing in totality with the majority, desired to express our views as follows. Not have an opportunity to entertain amendments to the draft platform document, we submit the following expression for the continual protection of the unborn through support of a human life amendment. For Republicans, from the very inception of our party, the words of the Declaration took form in two overarching moral propositions. That is, the rejection and elimination of what our very first platform in 1856 called the twin relics of barbarism, slavery, and polygamy. We noted with sober reflection how vast a cost the people of the United States paid for the achievement of that platform's commitment, how long a period passed before those goals could be achieved. Today we observe the vitality of a more recent but similar set of commitments embodied most prominently in the promise of the Republican Party to preserve the right to life of every human being from conception to natural death. That commitment made its way into the platform of 1976. 12 decades after that original session in Philadelphia, that commitment to a human life amendment and a call for the 14th Amendment's protection application to children before birth has been repeated in every platform since. And by this declaration of principle, we extend it now. In no season, under no rationale spurred by the expediency of a political movement, can or should we abandon the high principles that have created and sustained this party with God's grace into the third century. Unquote. So maybe at the convention, Republican delegates can bring a pro-life amendment up to a vote. Now, in my video version of this program, I will get into explaining the details of the new platform and how it reads. But just notice that Christian conservatives now have to post a minority report. We have become a minority. The influence of the world and its godless abortion, homosexuality, and transgenderism has so influenced the public and has been so normalized that those who follow God's moral law are vastly outnumbered. Now, we knew this would happen someday, just from a biblical prophetic point of view. In the last days, there will be a great outbreak of lawlessness in the world. Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And remember, in the Revelation, the whole world will go after the Antichrist. And my guess is that he'll have both Republicans and Democrats on his side. And the Christian community will be completely pushed out of the public square. Now, we knew this was coming. And maybe what we're now seeing is the beginning of this in the Republican Party. The Republican Party becoming Democrat light. So we've been given two contrasting signs this week. One sign that God is providentially putting Donald Trump into power, but another sign not to put all of our hopes in Donald Trump. Psalm 118:9, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. After the assassination attempt, a prominent Christian political pundit put up these headlines. At tragic moments like this, we just learned that Trump is superhuman. Trump is defiant. Trump is the chosen one. Forget the art of the deal. We just found out Trump is the real deal. Now, I support Trump as an alternative to the left, but I've always considered this particular Christian pundit a little too Trumpian for me. He went on to write in his article, Trump is the chosen one, chosen by God to be our warrior, to lead the fight of our lives, to inspire us to give everything we have to give in this fight of our lifetime. We will run up a hill on broken glass carrying a U.S. flag to return President Trump to the White House, to take our country back, to make America great again. Thank you, President Trump, for showing us the way. Unquote. Well, maybe God is going to show us something different in Trump's second term. Have you heard of the curse of the second term? Where second term presidents always disappoint, and there have been 21 second term presidents, and their second terms were marked with major scandals, policy inertia, and some sort of catastrophe. I suspect God is certainly going to teach his people that Trump is not the answer. And our focus needs to be on building up and recruiting people for the kingdom of Christ. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? And Psalm 118:8. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. So let's hear what God has to say in these signs of the time. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your support. And may Jesus Christ reign.